days, at the end of the day, at the end of that creation day, God said, he looked at creation and he said, it's good. It's good. But then the only place in this creation story that God said it's not good is when he saw man and then he was alone. It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. So here in Genesis is the establishing of the institution of marriage and the family. And the first institution, before the church is instituted, before government is instituted, before anything is created or instituted, God established the foundation of all of society and all of culture. He established the home and marriage to be the very center of all that he created. Amen. And he said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. You notice that it says that God put Adam to sleep, and then he removed the rib and created the woman. I've told a lot of young people over the years, young men especially, I've said, listen, who might be concerned about the fact that, you know, I don't have a wife and I don't have any prospects for a wife, that just allow the Lord to put you at peace. Just let the Lord put you to sleep. And then when he does that, he'll wake you up and there she'll be. She'll be there just at the perfect time that you need that person, that helpmeet. He took the rib from Adam, and that was, of course, symbolic of the fact that there was going to be a closeness, a relationship, that they were going to be equals, that they were intended to be from the rib, close to the heart, and which just represents their closeness and their partnership that God intended there to be between a man and a woman. He called her a helpmeet, which literally the word helpmeet, the Hebrew word, means to surround. And it really just describes the helpmeet that comes to be a help, a comfort, to be there for them. Thank God for helpmeets. Amen. It is not good for man to be alone. Aloneness is not good. But it's wonderful that God has divinely established the home and the marriage. Amen. Now, Adam had all of creation, everything that was his. He was, to have dominion over it all. It was all created for him, but there was still that was lacking that he needed, and God created the helpmeet for him. Amen. Genesis 2 and 23, it says, this is Adam's words, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. It really is Adam's declaration. It's a description of the mystery of what happens whenever a man and a woman are married. And we believe in marriage. We believe in biblical marriage. Amen. Between one man and one woman only. Amen. And but it speaks of the mystery. You'll see in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 31 that the man will be joined to his wife and they become one flesh. It's mysterious, it's miraculous, but it's true. It's holy and it is sacred. It is holy matrimony. Amen. And when divorce happens, then there's this ripping apart that takes place. The heartbreak and the grief and the sadness that takes place when there is a divorce, and that's just not the plan of God. It's the plan of God that the marriage and the home represent Christ and his church. And what a wonderful message it is to the world whenever God blesses a home and a marriage. Amen. Praise God. It is the first divine institution, as I said, before the church, before anything else, a government or anything. It's the whole foundation of our society, and that's why Satan hates it so much. That's why he attacks the family, and he attacks the marriage, because he wants to desecrate it. He wants to destroy what God has created. And so homes, families, marriages come under attack. Notice that in chapter 1 and chapter 2, in all of this creation story, now I'm sure that Satan is there. He's observing all that's going on, but there's no mention of Satan until chapter 3, right after that Adam and Eve become one, after God performs the marriage and brings them together, then Satan sticks his ugly head up because he wants to come against the marriage and the home and the family. And by the way, whenever marriage vows in a wedding ceremony are said, those vows are sacred. Those vows are holy. That's why that in the vows, that one of the phrases that I use, and it's very common to be used, that this is not to be entered into unadvisedly or lightly, but reverently, discreetly, and in the fear of God. Because it is a holy ceremony. Amen. Amen. And marriage is sacred. When Marcia and I got married, it's been a long time ago, almost 49 years ago. Brother Huff was very, very busy. He was preaching. As a matter of fact, he was preaching Richlands camp meeting the week of our wedding. And he didn't make it to the rehearsal. I don't think he needed to practice. He'd done plenty of weddings. But he didn't make it to the rehearsal. But he had a friend from over there fly him back to London in his little plane so that he could get over here and be here for the wedding. That was on Saturday at noon, I think, around noon, maybe 1 o'clock that day. And so he was so busy, probably running for office and preaching around the country and in the Senate. And I mean, he had plenty of things going on in his life. And so we didn't really have a personal time of like marriage counseling from him. But he made us a cassette tape, a personal tape to us. And it was a message to us to counsel us. And he called it. He wrote right on the tape. It said, "The ABCs of Marriage," in his handwriting. And the ABCs were A, adjustments, B, battles, C, commitment. And each one of those points, he instructed us and he counseled us about adjustments. He counseled us about battles. Thank God he did. And commitment to each other. And because he knew that it was so important that we hear some wise counsel about our family and about our home and about our future. Amen. He knew that it was going to be Satan's effort, Satan's work. He was going to work overtime to attack. And he does. And he has. There's not a family here. Doesn't matter how perfect or how godly you might be, there's not a marriage or a family here that you have not faced your challenges. Your family has come under the attack of the enemy. You have faced struggles and the effort of the enemy to come against what God wants to establish. But Genesis 2:24, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife." That just means that the order after you're married, that the order changes. That You're no longer under the headship of your father, but now it's a new family that's established. And there's a new headship that's established and a new family. That doesn't mean that you don't honor your father and your mother all the days of your life. You should do that, and you should take their counsel. Certainly you should. It just means this new order has been established. Now you're under the headship of the new family and the new headship, the new father or the new husband that's going to be the head of that family. But you can be sure that Satan is going to stick his ugly head up any time that there is a marriage that's established on the word of the Lord, any time that there is an attempt to build a home on the foundation of the word of God. There's going to be the attempt of the enemy to destroy. And that's why that dads, that men, that fathers must show up, must be there. And you'll notice that whenever Satan sticks his head up and he begins, he doesn't come against Adam, but instead he avoids the proper order and goes to her, to Eve, and begins to challenge her and challenge the word of the Lord. Hath God said? He speaks to Eve. And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it." But the serpent was speaking to the woman, "You shall not surely die. For God doth know in the day that you eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." So then the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant in the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof, and notice, she did eat, and she gave also unto her husband with her. So where was Adam whenever the devil was tempting Eve? He was right there. He was right there, but he didn't speak up. He didn't defend her. He didn't help her. But instead, she fell prey, and then she offered the fruit to him. It's time for fathers, for men, to show up, to be there. Amen. The enemy's going to come against your family. He'll come against your children. He'll come against your wife. He'll come against those that God has put under your leadership to attack them. It's our responsibility to show up. It's our responsibility to be there, to speak up, to be the protector. And certainly, we are to protect our families physically, but even more so, we have a responsibility to protect them spiritually from the attacks of the enemy against them. Dads need to show up. Amen. So Satan, he wanted to go around the divine order and went straight to Eve. And Adam was right there. He should have been there for her, but he was not. And she fell prey, and all of mankind fell into sin because he didn't show up. He didn't stand up. He didn't speak up and be what he was there to be the protector, the spiritual protector for his wife and for his family. So God has called us men, fathers, to be men of God. Amen. To take notice of the fact that your family comes under attack, and when they do, you have a responsibility. I've heard people say, well, you know, they're just going to have to learn. They're going to have to learn it the hard way. No, they need you to get in there and to help them. They need you to be the man of God, the influencer. They need you to be the person that steps up, that helps them, that encourages them. and protects them from the attacks of the enemy against them. Amen. Praise God. What a responsibility that we have. I think too many times, dads, we get wrapped up in a lot of things. We get busy with activities and whatever it is that has your focus and your attention. You can get all tied up in so many activities, but nothing is more important than your home, your family, and your marriage. Amen. Nothing is more important than these that God has put within your responsibility in your life. And then the Bible says that Adam runs and hides. He's hiding, and God is looking for Adam. Where art thou, Adam? He's hiding from God. He knows that he has sinned against God, and God is looking for him. Where art thou, Adam? Where are you, Adam? And the relationship, the common practice was for Adam and God to walk in the cool of the day. There is this implied fellowship and relationship that they had daily, walking with the Lord. That was what God intended for there to be, for men to have fellowship with the Lord, a relationship with the Lord. But now that relationship has been broken because of their rebellion and their sin. It's time for fathers to show up when it comes to our responsibilities. Amen. Too often, I've been around the church pretty much all my life, and I thank God for the ladies and for the mothers and for the influence. If you removed all the ladies from the church, we'd be in serious trouble. But the fact remains that there must be men of God who take the lead. Men of God that are spiritual leaders, that are willing to take that role. And instead of too often, it's the wife, it's the mother that takes a spiritual lead in the household. I'm not diminishing the influence of the wife and the mother, but men, it's time to show up. It's time to stand up. It's time to be that godly influence. And they need you. They need you to be a man of God. And you can be that man of God by developing your fellowship with God every day, by developing your connection with God through faithfulness to the Lord, faithfulness to the house of God, faithfulness to the word of God, that you walk with the Lord every day. And ultimately, we have the responsibility. I do believe, men, that we will give an account for our families. We will give an account for our how we lived and our willingness to step into the role of spiritual leader or the neglect of that. And so we must step up and take hold of the responsibility that God has given to us. Fathers, here's the challenge. Step up. Be a man of God. Direct your family and your children. You might think, well, my kids don't want to hear what I've got to say. They're not interested in my ideas. They may think I'm out of step or I'm old-fashioned, old fogey. You would be surprised. You would be surprised. Your children would love to hear your loving input. Amen. 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 Some of you must not believe me on that. But it's the truth. They want to hear your counsel. They want to hear your counsel. And fathers, even though you're no longer under the headship of your father or the granddad, that doesn't mean that you can't go to them for advice and counsel. It would be worthwhile to do that. And over the years, even the years that my dad wasn't serving the Lord, there were times when I would go to my dad and ask him questions and get advice from him. I'm even a pastor, and I would go to my dad, my unsaved dad, and get advice from him, and he would respond, and he would do his best to direct me and help me in some decisions, whatever it was, if it was buying a car or whatever it was, he was willing to invest. Amen. And even father-in-law, Brother Huff, over the years, of course, because we were both in ministry, it was opportunities over the years for me to ask his counsel, his advice about different things. I remember one time when we were pastoring in Oklahoma, and there was some issue that I was dealing with, and I called him and said, "What would you do in this?" And he said, "Well, you know, you've chosen a rough profession." And I knew that by that time. I knew that. But then he proceeded to give me some good counsel. Here would might be the good steps to take to help you in this area. And so don't be afraid to go to those that can offer you wise counsel to help you to be the man of God that you need to be. So never relinquish your role, your responsibility to be the leader in the family. Be a father that's willing to show up, to be there, to offer advice, to offer counsel and encouragement through the days. Honor thy father. This is Deuteronomy 5 and 16. And it's repeated in many other places in the scripture. Honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God has commanded thee. And that doesn't end when you leave their home. You continue to honor them all the days of your life and their life. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged and that it may go well with thee. Their advice, their encouragement, their counsel is invaluable. Amen. Praise the Lord. It is. Now in Genesis chapter 4, now there's children, Cain and Abel. And you know the story that Cain and Abel have conflict. They were in the field and Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Can you imagine? The first family is now a family that has murder right in their own household. But in all the account of Genesis chapter 4, Cain killing Abel, there is no mention of Adam in the story at all. And it just makes you wonder, would it have been different if Abel had been right there to get involved, to reconcile, to get involved, to offer help and counsel and encouragement? If dads show up, it can make all the difference. It really can. Amen. I am so grateful in my case for a dad that did show up. He was there. My brother, my youngest brother that still lives there and is a board member in the church there in Oklahoma that we built many years ago. He sent me some pictures the other day. They have built a new sanctuary now since we've been gone. And they're turning the old sanctuary into a fellowship hall. And my brother said, he sent me pictures. He said, we tore out the platform of the old sanctuary so we'd have more space. And that whole area is now going to be a new fellowship area. And he said, do you remember who was helping us when we built that platform? And I said, oh yeah, I remember. It was my dad. He wasn't saved, but he was there. He showed up to help. And he drove so many nails in that place that my brother said, you would not have believed. Getting that lumber out of that platform was unbelievable to try to get that out of there, because dad drove so many nails, he intended it to be there for all of eternity. Dad showed up. Amen. Thank God. Many of you have dads that have showed up and families that have been blessed with spiritual leaders in your household. Praise God for that. Amen. Glory to God. We just thank God for all of you men and all of you fathers and those of you that men that are not married and you don't have families, remember that whenever you make that step, that you're accepting a very big responsibility under God to lead your family, your household, in the ways of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we have a heavenly Father who is concerned about every need that we have. We thank you, Lord, that you've given to us fathers in the natural world, in our own lives, Lord, in our own families. Fathers, Lord, that have been there for us. Thank you, Lord, for every influence, for every word of advice and counsel. We thank you, Lord, for men that have been the men of God, men of integrity, men of character. We're grateful, Lord, for each one. And today, Lord, we just pray your blessing upon every father in this building today. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to use them to direct their families, to guide them, to instruct them, and most of all, to lead by example, to live a godly life so that their family would want to follow them in all that they do. Thank you, Lord, for this Father's Day in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me?